We often do think of the Christmas story from the Gospel of Luke's perspective. Maybe we even think of the story of the first Advent from the perspective of the shepherds in the field. But what would the perspective of Christmas be? The perspective from Joseph's side, or maybe Joseph's father. My boy is a good, righteous boy. He is faithful to God. He is faithful and righteous. He's a good boy. And he's also a man of great peace. He's at peace with himself. He's at peace with others. My son, he's at peace with God. Let me tell you about his story. You see, we come from a great family. Wonderful, wonderful heritage. We are Jewish. Oh, just like all of our fathers and grandfathers before us, we go back all the way to Father Abraham. Father Abraham in our lineage, in our genealogy. 14 generations. And then there's King David. Yes, our great-great-great-grandfather, King David. And then there were 14 generations to the terrible exile, the Babylonian exile, when our fathers lost it all and left it all. And then 14 more generations, and it's my family, my personal family. Oh, we have a great tradition. We love tradition. We love our family. And in order for family to continue, well, my son needed to marry. Now, my name's Benjamin, and I have several boys, but my oldest son, Joseph, he's the one I'm talking about. Joseph. He was already up in years, and he probably should have married before, but we kept waiting to find the right one. Yes, that's the way we do it in our family. The fathers pick the bride for the sons. We're not going to leave that to a bunch of hormonal teenagers. No way. We do this for them. So I looked for some time for just the right family. Again, tradition, heritage, genealogy, that's important to us. And so I met a young girl. She was young, and I knew her father briefly. We were in the same Rotary Club together, and we knew each other, but not really well, but I knew they were a good family. And while Mary was just a young girl, her father and I began to talk that she would be the one, Mary would be the one that would marry my Joseph. He was much older than her, but it'll all work out. And so the way we do it, it's really three parts. First comes the engagement. We announce the engagement, my Joseph and Mary. They were engaged for years while she was way too young to marry. But we chose they would be married someday. Then came what we call the betrothal. Betrothal is a big word for pledge. It was a one-year process. 1 year they were pledged to be married. It was just like they were married. Well, not the benefits, but it was like they were married. And for a year, the only way to break a betrothal is for a writ of divorce. And that very rarely happens. Everyone knows they will be married. And of course, after that year, the wedding. Oh, the wedding. We don't do weddings like Baptists with cookies and punch and some thin mints. No, we do weddings for days, weeks. Weeks a wedding may go on. We eat a lot and we drink a little and we have a grand and glorious wedding. It was all planned. It was going to happen. And Mary ends up pregnant. Oh, I can't even begin to tell you the anger I had the anger in my heart. I was so mad at my son. How dare him, my father and our fathers, all of our, that had never happened before. Oh, I hope the neighbors didn't hear. I let him have it. I really let him have it. How dare he defy the name of our family? And then he said, Dad, have I ever lied to you? He's a faithful, he's a just and righteous boy. I said, no, you haven't. But Dad, I'm not the father. I have never been with Mary, he said. We don't know each other. And Dad, you can ask Mary. Even Mary says, I'm not the father. Now, if it had been one of my younger sons, I wouldn't believe him. But Joseph, he was a faithful, righteous, good man. And I believe him. I believe him. He's not the father. But that didn't help my anger. For now, it's all directed at Mary. That Mary, oh, her father showed up at my house. You should have seen him. I didn't trust him. He didn't know the four-way rotary test, let me tell you. He came right up to me and said, guess what? An angel of the Lord named Gabriel came to my daughter, and she is going to have a baby, but the father is like the Holy Spirit. Blasphemy. Don't blame the Holy Spirit for what your daughter has done. I kicked him out of the house. Mary, she's an adulteress. We don't keep the law like we used to. Back in my father's day, she would have been stoned and left for dead. At least she should wear a big scarlet A for the rest of her life. Oh, you can imagine our family. I haven't been outside in 2 weeks. People talk, women, oh, the women, the gossip was going over coffee, the women, oh, they talked, they gossiped, they didn't believe that story, they blamed my son, oh, and men may gossip a little, and they were talking too, everyone was talking about, and Joseph, what, who is the father, he trusted this girl, oh, the rumors. I called my son into my room, and I said, we must talk. We must decide what we will do. There are really only 3 options for my Joseph and this Mary. Well, he could marry her, but that's not really an option. No way is my son going to marry a girl that's pregnant and he's not the father. So that's not an option. The only real option is divorce. A writ of divorce, a public divorce. Put it in the daily news. Let everyone know what she did. Divorce her. Divorce her. That was the only option. Now, my son had heard that there was something new. Some of these new lawyers come up with stuff. A private divorce. It took 2 witnesses. And it wouldn't be in the paper, maybe just some initials. A private divorce. A private divorce. Well, this is what I know. Mary is a disgrace. Her father is dishonorable. My son is a fool. And I'm a failure. I should have seen. I should have known. My son said, private divorce. I don't want to hurt Mary. She's hurt us. I don't want to hurt her. A private divorce is what we'll do. Well, early this morning, he came into my room, my son, and he was as white as a sheet. And I said, what's up with you? Have you seen a ghost? And he said, well, kind of. He said, Dad, I had a dream and an angel. Oh, not an angel, not another angel. Dad, just listen. I had a dream. And in the dream, an angel came for me. He said, Dad, you better sit down. And I said, I am sitting down. I need to stand up maybe. And he said, this is what the angel said. don't be afraid. Those angels don't say that. Don't be afraid. Wait, don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife. The child that she has conceived is of the Holy Spirit. I'm not sure I'm buying this angel dream a bit. He said, Dad, wait. The angel said, don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife. The child she has conceived is of the Holy Spirit. She will have a child. She will have a boy. And you name him Jesus. Jesus. That's not a name that really is common in our family heritage. And who is this angel in this dream to name my grandson, or not my grandson? I don't have anything to do with it. Who? Jesus. God saves us. That's a funny name, I told my son. Jesus. He said, wait, Dad, one last thing. She will have a son, a baby. Name him Jesus, for he will save all people from their sin. Save us from the Romans. That's what we need. Save us from the government. Save us from our sins. Jesus, Emmanuel, with us. With us, God. God with us. Save us from... Could this baby, Jesus, is this the long-awaited Messiah? My fathers and all of our fathers, all the way back to David and Abraham, said that God would send Messiah to save us, to redeem us from ourself and from our sin. And this angel in this dream said, Mary will have a baby, and Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us. Oh, what a dream. And I asked my son, then what happened? He said, then I woke up. You woke up? That's not a good time to wake up. This dream, this is bigger than Jimmy Stewart, George Bailey, It's a Wonderful Life. This is a dream. And you woke up. You woke up. My son is a good and righteous man. What? Messiah? Jesus? I asked him, well, what are you going to do? And in a calmness, in a peace that I can't explain, he said, I will take Mary to be my wife. I will love her, and we will raise this Jesus to be a carpenter like us, Dad, and we will be a good family, Mary and I and Jesus. The peace he had as he told me those words. Peace and an absence of anxiety, serenity, tranquility. Tranquility, peace. I'm not sure where he got that peace, but he had it. The peace of God. My son, Mary, a baby, Jesus, Messiah, Emmanuel. What a story. What a story. Well, what am I doing here telling you this story? What, there's a wedding and there's a baby. I think I'll make the baby a cradle. Every baby needs a good cradle. And carpenters, we do great things with wood. A cradle, you know, the new end thing is to have your baby naturally. Some are even having them outside in a barn and putting them in a box. Not my grandson. He will have a fine, fine cradle. Well, maybe it's not exactly like that in Matthew's gospel, but I think it's close. You know, the more things change, the more things stay the same. thousands of years later. In our world, and maybe in your life, there's chaos, conflict, confusion. Thousands of years later, there's still divorce, depression, division, discord. All these years later, there are still more questions than there are answers. And yet, there's still peace. Advent peace. Joseph had it, and years later, Jesus spoke about it. The very one, Jesus, who Joseph and Mary thought about, Jesus met with his apostles, and he said, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me." In John 14, he records Jesus saying, "There's one coming, the Holy Spirit, that will live in you, that will be a part of you, that will grant you peace." Jesus said, "My peace I give to you, not as the world gives, but my peace. Therefore, be not afraid. Have my peace." Advent. The hope that the candle gives us, that lights and takes away the darkness, the hope of this season. All week we've read and we've thought and we've prayed that the hope of Christ would be realized in our life and in our world. We need hope. Not wishful thinking, real hope. And now we begin our journey of peace. My prayer is that somehow in the midst of all our world and all the stuff, that God would grant us peace. It can be yours in Christ, God's peace. Shall we pray? Thank you, God, for the wonderful promise of your word and the words of Jesus. I've come that you might have peace, a peace that surpasses understanding. Let not your hearts be troubled or afraid. I grant you peace. Questions remain. Conflict and confusion, divorce and depression, all the things of this world are still around us, but there can be peace because of Christ. Oh God, grant us peace. Let there be peace on earth. Let there be peace in our heart. Let there be peace. Oh God, thank you. Thank you for your peace, which came through Emmanuel. God with us. God in us. God before us. God through us. Emmanuel, oh God, send us that peace, is my prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.